Well, it is our prayers. I'd like to think a little bit about Christmas today. Look at it. I know that Brother Sammons used to always have a burden about this time of year, and he would always say that, tell the congregation, warn them, and tell us that the spirit of Christmas is not the spirit of Christ. So I wanted to say that too, and I'd like to think a little bit about Christmas. I'll start out with familiar Christmas story in Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. I like Christmas time. I enjoy all of the fringes of it. I like Christmas lights. I like the idea of there being a time that's called a holiday that people can get off and family can get together. I enjoy that. I like chocolate-covered almonds that Linda makes, and chocolate-covered pecans, and cookies, and the candies, and I like Christmas cards. I enjoy the scene of Christmas. I really enjoy listening to Christmas music, the good Christmas music. There's some of it I don't like so much, but I like the traditional We Three Kings and God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, and that I like all of that. I enjoy it very much. I enjoy the time of year. But Jesus didn't come for any of that. That's not what he come for. We can get wrapped up in all that, or I say not even wrapped up, but we can enjoy it. There's nothing wrong about any of it. I don't believe that. But that's not what the Lord came for. So I want to look at the idea of what the Lord really came for, and the idea that we not miss what the Lord came for. I mean, I appreciate that. I've heard it said that Christmas is the only time of year that some people think about the Lord. Well, that'd be too bad, but I can still be thankful that they at least do think about the Lord on that particular time. I can be thankful for that. But I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to be guilty of losing the idea. So it's not just for Christmas for me, but it's for all time for me, is that the reason that the Lord come, you know, you hear the another saying years and years, you hear, read it quite often, that Jesus is the reason for the season. But that's not what he come for. He come for something, and if we miss the reason what he come for, what's the celebrating? Listen to what the angel said. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. You know, I think right off, right here is one of the valuable things of what the Lord came for. That we can live a life without fear. He said, fear not to them. This scene that you're about to be a part of is not to be fearful of. Yeah, we're to fear God in the sense of honor, respect, and putting God in His proper place. But God, we're not to fear what God has done. We're supposed to be in a place that we can appreciate what God's done. Fear not today. God is not your enemy. God's a friend. The whole idea of what this is all about is that He come down and said, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings. Good news. I'm bringing you good news in this. This is what the Lord... Jesus didn't come that there be great displays of light displays. I enjoy seeing them, but only in the sense of my natural eye. But if I miss the idea of what the Lord really come for, what advantage is the coming? We celebrate the coming of the Lord. You know, the Bible neither condemns nor establishes Christmas. You can't find where it establishes Christmas or condemns it. So I can't say that it's either established by the Lord. It's definitely not an ordinance. So it has no great potential value. If I don't celebrate it and have these things in my heart, I'm no worse off for it. And yet if I do celebrate it and I have these things in my heart, I'm no worse off for it. But if I don't have these things that the Lord brought, then the whole idea of the celebration is meaningless. It's vanity. I wonder what God really thinks of a whole great multitude of people that's saying, Jesus this, Jesus that, and yet they don't really have what He come for. He come for something. He come for something that was passionate enough for Him to come for, to die for. And what He come to bring was more than just being born and worshipped as a baby. He's not to be worshipped as a baby. He's to be worshipped as a Savior. But I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And I mentioned down at the nursing home yesterday, the word joy, it means a sense of gladness. It doesn't mean that all your life is fun and exciting. That's the way the world would take joy. They have joy as long as their team wins. They have joy just as long as everything's going their way. As long as everything's in the right order with them, then they're joyful. But that's not what the joy that He was bringing. He said great joy. Great meant exceedingly wide. Endlessly deep and long. It had expanse to it. A great joy that He brings to us. This joy that He was bringing to us was to be something that we had in our heart. A sense of gladness, of a quiet calmness that was to be in our hearts because we have the knowledge and understanding and the faith in Christ to know that no matter what this world brings, I am okay. Because the Lord came, I have a relationship and a place with God that cannot be taken from me. You can't steal it, rob it, take it from me, because inside of me is something that nothing can get. The devil can't get it. His spirits can't get it. The world can't steal it. Inside me, I may be in pain. I may have some persecutions. I may have everything go wrong. And the things around me may all go wrong. All my equipment may tear up. My furniture may break down. My appliances may quit working. But inside, there's still a quiet calmness and sense of gladness because He come. Because He was born makes all the difference. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I wish that I lived my life always that way. But I need to be reminded many times when these things are happening and I begin to get frustrated. I need to be reminded many times. And the Lord is so faithful to remind me that I've got something for you. None of this matters. You know, and I come to many times in my place and say, thank you, Lord, for reminding me then there's God and how He changes my situation. But He brings tidings of great, not little, not puny, but great joy, which shall be to all people. Well, then how come all people don't have it? Because they don't apply themselves to it. It's one thing to string up the lights. It's another thing. I mean, it's the things to bake. It's the thing to do the Christmas thing, to wrap presents. Hey, I enjoy presents. I like to give them. I like to get them. We can do it several times a year, as far as I'm concerned. But that's not what it's about. You know, the reason they say many times Christmas is the time of year that people at least think about Jesus. But we'll turn this around a minute. Is Christmas the time that many people also will do things that they wouldn't do any other time of year? I know it to be a truth. There is people that manage themselves fairly well until it comes to Christmas, and they would go immensely in debt. Brother Sammons used to always warn about that. Well, don't do it then. You wouldn't do it the other time. Don't do it then. Manage yourself. Don't lose the principles. Don't dress different, act different, don't be different. Don't give yourself the things that you wouldn't do otherwise. Because this event called Christmas is not why Jesus came. Jesus came to set something in here. If we don't have what He came to give us inside, I can't help from thinking the Lord looks down and thinks it's a vanity. If we don't have what He came to give us inside, our hearts, something that's real joy in there, something that's real valuable to us. Yes, I can celebrate that He come. I'm glad that He come, and I can rejoice that He come because I've got something in here, something that makes a difference. Now, many people are going to go out and celebrate Christmas with alcohol, with drinking, with getting drunk, and drunkenness, and all kind of lasciviousness and evil activity. Celebrate? Can we really reconcile that into our minds? That you can celebrate the coming of the Lord and what He come to do with that kind of behavior? If we could celebrate it in any way, it'd have to be in, what's Luke 1:74, that He would grant unto us that we be delivered from the hands of our enemy, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. All the days, every day of our life in holiness and righteousness before Him. Thank the Lord that He come. I'm glad for the time of year. I'm glad for the remembrance of it. I'm glad that His name's mentioned. I'm glad that Jesus is. I'm glad the manger scene. I'm glad for the whole thing. But I don't want to lose the essence of it in the idea of the practice of it. I want to have what it's really about. Now, what did He bring? He brought joy. So the obvious question is, do you have that joy? Is it still, no doubt, I believe we've all had it. But is that joy still prominent part of my life? Is it there? And again, get me right again. It's not excitement. It's not fun. They aren't synonymous. This idea of joy is a quiet calmness and a sense of gladness. It is a sense of well-being that it's all well no matter what. It's all well. Christians have had joy in their heart even when being persecuted to death. They had joy in their heart because there was a sense of well-being about their lives. That because Jesus come, I'm not a lost sinner. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to be ruined. But I have everlasting life because of the Lord. It's what He came for. It says it shall be to all people. All right? It says that they say, the 14th verse, glory to God in the highest on earth. Peace. Now again, they have these Christmas sales. One year they had this sale, and there was two men there, and they had their sons, and they was going after a certain article. They got into a fight, and one man pulled a knife and killed the other. right in front of his son. Christmas. Somebody said one time to me, said, I'm not sending Christmas cards to anyone that didn't send me one last year. Christmas. I hope you get the burden of it. Christmas. It isn't one day. Then Lord wants us to have a life of peace in our hearts. Peace from God to us is what this is talking about. It's talking about on earth peace, goodwill towards men. But the peace that the Lord gives us, one says it's a great peace. A peace that passeth understanding. A peace about the things that are around us. A resignation to the will of God in our lives. This is what the Lord come for, to give us more. One scripture said, I think I preached on it not long ago. He said over there in Acts, I think, the Lord Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Are you whole? Well, it's what He come for. Do you have the peace between you and God that I know that if the Lord takes me tonight, I can say, 'tis well with my soul? Well, it's what He come for. Do you have the love of God in your heart for those that are around you, even those that do you wrong? Well, it's what He come for. It's what He come for. Are you functional today? Are you totally functional as a human being? Do you know how to get along with one another? Do you know how to get along with God? Do you know how to get along with yourself? Do you know where you properly are at? Some people exalt themselves way higher than they should. It's called pride. Some people diminish themselves much lower than they should. It's called low self-esteem. You're not nothing. You're something made of God. But you're not over to that either. You got to know where you're at. What did the Lord come to make you whole? See, I have a burden for it year after year, because I see, I even talk and discuss it with people that talk about the values of Christmas. One woman told me one time, said, to her it was a religious function. She said, I'd do anything but not miss Christmas. I can't believe you'd even think that. This is about the Lord, all these things. And yet at the same time, all these other elements are totally missing out of the woman's life. And that's what He come for.
So Lord, help us. Let's look at another scripture in Luke 14th chapter. Oh, we'll see. The 16th verse. Then said He unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then his master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. All right? Now imagine the scene here for a minute. This master spreads this great supper. And he says to he bids these people to come. And these people with one consent, begin to make an excuse. They're not going. They're not going to eat. But instead, they're going to go out and hang up the lights and decorate the town in honor of it. Do you understand how foolish that would be? Let's make a commemoration of it. Let's tell the world how wonderful the meal is. Wouldn't that be kind of strange thing for somebody to do? I say it'd be utterly strange to do. They didn't eat it. They consented and wanted to make an excuse about why they wouldn't eat it. Why it wasn't any good. Why I don't. Joy to the world. Joy to the world. But I don't have any joy. On earth, peace. But I don't have any peace. Goodwill towards men. But none of us are getting along. But I got this and a fighting, this and a fighting. I know people that are holding grudges for years and years. Some of them sent me Christmas cards. And one of them says joy to the world and peace unto men. And yet there it is. Right there it is. Well, we're going to proclaim it as the greatest thing. We'll send it in our Christmas cards. We'll announce it. We'll sing the songs. We'll glorify it with presents and all these things. But we don't have any essence of it. So the Master sends out and says, come, I've got a great feast of all these things that you can eat and partake of. You know, the Scripture says that He was made manifest that He might destroy the works of the devil. So I have to say, it's what He come for. Are those works destroyed? If it's not, it's vanity for what He come for. He said in one scripture that He come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. What did He come for? That we could have life and have it more abundantly? I understand that there's a secular element to this. I understand that there's Santa Clauses and elves and those kind of things. And the world likes to mix it all up into a bag of all of that. And it's secular. It's kind of meaningless to me. I can walk right on by it. But I can't bring it into the same idea as this. I just can't do it. All the world can easily do it, but I can't easily do it. Like I said before, you look at somebody that enjoys Christmas time. I've always liked it and still like it. Thank God for the things that I think of at that time and the song and all the things that it has. But if I don't have the essence of what He come for, I feel a little hypocrisy about the whole thing. That's not what He come for. He didn't come to make some kind of a fairy tale out of it. Of some fat guy coming down the chimney. They didn't make no fairy tale about those kind of things. He come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That we can have a life that's meaningful and that is rich and that has something to it. That a husband and a wife can truly have a good marriage together. That a father and a mother can have good relationships with their children. That we can, even though there's a lot of things against us, that we can get along with our neighbors. That we can have respect for one another, respect for God, and respect for ourselves. That we can be the higher calling of His creation, which we was created to be. We weren't created to be hogs and animals that just run off our desires and lusts. We was created higher than that. A little lower than the angels. We was created in the creation of integrity and honor and glory. We were created in the image of God. We're not fairy tale. And He come to restore it, what had been fallen. Now here's the Christmas story in a nutshell. Jesus come to bring salvation to us. Without salvation, what is the Christmas story? I give you this burden because this is my concern, that I know the world will be the world. But Lord, help us as God's people. The first step of deception is the accepting false ideas and premises. We don't want to be deceived about any element of it. It is what it is. It has no higher thing to it. It is what it is. Here's the higher thing. Jesus came for our salvation. He come to give us joy and peace. He come to give us life and more abundantly. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He came not to make us different one time a year, but He may come to make us different. A new, you know, another scripture that He says, He said that we would be, oh, how's it say that? All things, old things become new. No, behold, old things have become new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He came to make a new creature. The whole idea of Jesus being born, the Son of God, a little baby in the manger, the whole Christmas idea, there was a message, there was a reason, there was a purpose that He come into the world. That purpose being fulfilled means that I get the opportunity, the chance, to take the old Marty, get rid of him, and become something new in God. Something new, something rich, something valuable. Not one day a year, but all the days of the year. One time, not one time. Not in big demonstrations and all those things, but in a peaceful quietness. Lord, help us that we get the meaning of what it really is in our hearts. And it's there all the time. Because we need to proclaim, if you want to say it this way, the real story. We need to proclaim it all the time. We need to proclaim, no, I know the lights ain't always flashing and the decorations are not always up and all those things. But we still need to proclaim it. We need to shine it out there like that in our lives. We need to have the adornment of the salvation in our hearts all the time. We need to be a light, not a candle under a bushel. We need to be that city that sets on the hill that's proclaiming peace on earth, goodwill towards men, a purpose of God. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Lord, help us to taste of His supper. Because He brought so many rich and valuable things to our lives. To think of that great table of God spread. What do you need today? You got a need? Perhaps you are here and have a need. I'm going to tell you, it's on the table. That table that He made, it's on the table. These men that turned it down with one consent, they begin to say, as the world does to God, they begin to say with one consent, there is more important things in my life than the pursuit of this. There is more important things than for me to go and be a partaker of what's been prepared. Isn't that one of the things that we face? The Lord says, I have it, and we say, I don't have time for it. I don't have time right now for that. I've got something that needs to be checked. I need something that needs to be done. I need to take care of my own business first. If we really want to honor and respect God for what we call this Christmas time, what better way to do it? How did the Lord really say for us to honor and respect Him with it? Have faith in God. He wants us to have faith in Him. Have faith in God. Trust in the Lord. Put your heart to the Lord. The things that happen into our life that we get so bent out of shape about, Can we ever say, this is the will of God for me in my life? Lord, help me to have it inside so that I can testify from the inside out. This thing that we call Christmas, it's real in your heart. It's a real thing that happened. Jesus was born into the world, but Jesus was also born into my heart. That's what He come to do. He come to give us power. over the selfish things of life. He come to do something for us inside. Lord, help us to seek Him in the inside. You know, we need to be what's decorated. We need to be decorated with the things of God. Adorned with the holy things of God. In our spirit adorned. I appreciated, you know, back Sunday before deer season, there was a visitor come in. You remember the man that come in? I forget his name now. But he come in and visit us. Was on a Wednesday night service, I think it was. I spoke with him at the door. You know what he said? He said, it was a regular service for us. He said, I really, really appreciated the service. He said, that singing was really pretty. And he said, great spirit. It just had a great spirit to it. And I said a few words to him, and then he said, got marriage problems in the middle of a divorce. Started right off saying some things that let me know his life was in turmoil, that he needed something. But you know, I appreciated that's there. I still appreciate it, and I covet it more. Lord, help us to be a place that a hurt, wounded person can come and feel an uplift to their spirit. That they could come and feel a little bit of the sense of gladness that we feel. And as they look, and you know, I've had people say about my life. I had someone say about my life one time. They told my sister said, oh, Marty's life's always been. He's never had anything happen to him. Everything's always went well for him. I couldn't help from chuckling. Because that was not too long after Tammy had died. It's not too long after a lot of the things that I'd went through in life. I about had a nervous breakdown, all those things. But you know what? I was glad. I thank God that that's what she saw. She looked at my life. I was glad that that's what she saw. I'm glad that she saw somebody that you know what? Because to be honest with you, that's not the way I looked at it, but I know the Lord was with me. I know the Lord helped me. I know the Lord gave me a sense of joy and calmness in it all, that I knew no matter what happens, I'm still saved. I've got a greater purpose than this. This is a vapor. It's just for a time. It's just happening for now. But I got something better than all that. That's what we're wanting. The Lord came to give us such a table. Spread. Oh, the world don't even know what it's saying when it does the whole Christmas thing. I wish that they did. I wish they could really understand what Jesus really come for and what they really miss out on. How many children out there today do you think that they're going to get some gifts? For Christmas, there's going to be multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of children out there that's going to get gifts. That probably wish their gift would be their daddy.
That's right.
How many children out there do you think is going to unwrap a present that wish they could just put their arms around their mom's neck? How many children do you think is going to have presents that they're going to open that they wish they could see their mom and their dad sitting close with one another holding hands? How many times, like I said, I've seen people that are totally had bitterness and have totally broken families, broken homes, saw all that. Well, they still do the Christmas thing. It's like the table spread. But I'm not going to go eat. When I could be a partaker of what it's really about. Dysfunctional, hurting children, abused children. How many children has been in abusive cases? How many children are going to open presents? How many children you think is going to open presents with their eyes blacked? How many wives are going to open presents with her eyes blacked? How much dysfunction's out there anyway? How many people are going to get murder for a Christmas present this year? You think murder slows down because it's Christmas time? Wait a minute, there's Christmas lights. I see you shaking your head. There's Christmas lights everywhere. If there's joy to the world, Christmas greetings, all that everywhere. Does it make us docile? Does it make us better? How many children are going to get a dead daddy in a funeral for a Christmas present? How many divorces are in progress? Lord help us. I know I'm talking about a lot about what the world's done. But I know things can affect us too. Don't ever lose what really came, what the Lord really came for. It was a part of His plan to be born as a child for a reason. He come in the form of a man. The same way men are born, He was born. And He done it for a reason. He wanted to come and experience. The Scripture says that through His suffering, He learned obedience. And if you want to really look into that, what that's talking about, He wasn't disobedient to learn obedience. But He had never been in the place to be challenged with any obedience. He was in the place of total obedience. But He didn't know unobedience. But He got into a place. And through His suffering, He learned what it was like to submit Himself to God. And He had to do it in the form of a man. That's what the plan was. He suffered everything that you and I have suffered. You know, He no doubt suffered peer pressures. He suffered growing up pains. He suffered the whole gamut right on through of being a man. And was without sin. And He won for us salvation. Become the captain of our salvation. So today, I hope this is a challenge to you. Remember, there is a reason for the season. Or I say this, there is a reason Jesus came. The fulfilling of that reason in our hearts is really what the Lord wants to accomplish. I, again, appreciate the things of Christmas. I don't want you to think that I'm saying in any way that I think there's anything bad or evil about it. I just think that it can be a distraction if you're not very careful about what the real thing is. He came to give us a grace of life, to live life with, to be able to overcome all of the problems, no, not in everybody else, but He gave us a grace and a power inside to be able to overcome all the insufficiencies of my own life. And that is the gift of God, and that is the greatest gift of Christmas. Thank you for your time. Amen.